Yes. She's a familiar face to probably most of you, and it is just my honor to pray over her today before she preaches to us. Okay. Own it. Lord, we come before you, and we tell you right now, in the heavenly realms, whatever is loosened in the heavenly realms to be loosened here on earth right now. To be whatever is bound in the heavenly realms, to be bound here on earth in the name of Jesus Christ. So I give notice to all the spirits here right now in this place to be silent in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, your spirit, may it now whisper and be heard by everyone. Lord, I pray for Donna, that you anoint her lips, allow her to speak your words, give her boldness, clarity of mind, and your peace of presence, that you are here with us. Bless the words that you have, that you will speak through her, to each and every one of our hearts right now. We thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Thank you. It is good to be here with you today. Some of you may know that that statement is probably more significant than others of you. On Wednesday, late in the evening, I got a phone call from my brother, and my dad had taken for the worse. And they were taking him to the hospital, and I was like, oh no, now what? Is this the beginning of the end? What's going on? And then middle of the night, phone calls, no, we're not going to do surgery. He's 94 years old. And so it was a little touch and go there for a while, but I declared in the spirit realm that I am going to preach this Sunday. So, yes, he actually was released from the hospital, went back to the nursing home. He's stabilized. He is not well, but he is stabilized, and I'm going tomorrow. So praise God. So it is good to be here with you today, literally. Okay. I want to lead us in prayer. Our Father.
Yes.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you? Okay.
What do you mean? Who are you expecting exactly?
Okay, let's try this again. Okay. Our Father in heaven.
Yes.
Seriously? You're really there?
I'm really here. Be here for the rest of the week, throughout the, pretty much through all eternity. I'm here all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're speaking to me?
Are you speaking to me? Do you know who I am? Do you know this planet that you're on, this whole universe thing? Who's the big dog do you think did all that stuff? Am I speaking to you? Are you talking to me?
Okay, I get it.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm okay now.
Okay. This is actually part of a skit that goes through the entire Lord's Prayer, and there's this dialogue. And there's a little bit of nervous laughter, and sometimes it hits home a little bit, and some of it's a little funny, and but we laugh around the subject of God speaking. We use skits, we use parodies, we use comedies in movies. So we like to laugh around the subject. Does God really speak to us? And I'm here to tell you today, yes, he speaks. Yes, he speaks. We're in a series on the Holy Spirit, which Pastor Jeff kicked off last week really well. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a he. It's a person of the Trinity. He desires to encourage, empower, and equip us for the purpose to glorify the Father and the Son. Here's the best statement. He is not weird. He is not strange. We heard that last week, right? We ended with a Holy Spirit creed, where we declared we needed the Holy Spirit and we could not do life without the Holy Spirit. And that's where we start today. How do we do life with the Holy Spirit? We're in John 14. And in your pew Bible, that's page 1045. We're not going to read every word in John 14. So if you can turn there with your handheld, your iPads, the pew Bible, whatever, maybe you can follow along and read some of the words. We're not going to read out loud here. But we're in John 14. And I'm actually going to start with verse 5. The first four verses, Jesus is with his disciples. This is a teaching moment with Jesus and his disciples. But the theme of this is he's actually preparing them for his leaving. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You know the Father, therefore you know me. Jesus answered, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, then that will be enough for us. It's like, Philip, don't you get it? And Jesus answered, don't you know? Oh, sorry, little Minnesota there. I'm getting ready, that's where I'm going tomorrow. Don't you know? Okay, Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. He is preparing them for his leaving. And he's making sure they understand. You know me. You've known me. I've been here with you. You know the Father. There's a very much an interconnectedness between Jesus and the Father that he wants them to get before he leaves. And then he says, you are called to do my work. You're called to do my work in the authority of the name that I've given you. So he's going to go, they're going to go out and do teaching, and they're going to go out and do the miracles that Jesus did. Again, it's preparing them for his leaving. But the relationship piece between, if you know me, you've seen me, you know the Father, you've seen the Father. Okay. Very important for them to lay that out. Oops. Okay. You've all seen the infomercials. Okay, count of three. One, two, three. But wait, there's more. Okay. There is more. There is more. Okay. Verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command you, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you. Another helper, another counselor. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you, and I will not leave you as orphans. So he's completing what he spoke about in the first section about, you know me, I know the Father, you know the Father, this connection. But now he's bringing the Spirit into it. And he is saying, I am in the Father, you are in me, but I am in you because of the Holy Spirit. He completes the picture of the Trinity. He's declaring and making it clear they understand, not only am I the Son of God, I am God. And so as he tells them, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, You have the picture of the Trinity, but you also have that relationship piece of now he's connecting the disciples to the Trinity. I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. He's completed that circle, the circle of the Trinity. So in this entire section of John 14, understand why he speaks. This is important. Understand why he speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks because it's about continuing that relationship. The relationship he had with his disciples, the relationship he's laying out with his disciples. He wants them and us to understand why he speaks. Jesus wasn't just hanging out with the guys. This was not a casual relationship. He's not just hanging out with us. This is not a casual relationship. In all that section that we read, he uses words, and he uses a lot of words, but it's to know, to see, to be, to love. These are powerful words. If you really know someone, you don't know them casually. You really see someone, you really see them. It's not just a glance. Jesus wants that same relationship, or for us to know that same relationship. And by his Spirit, that will happen. And he shows how the Trinity is all united together in Revelation and the redemption piece. Understand why he speaks. He speaks because God is relational, and he's a communicating God. God is relational, and he's a communicating God. In the next section, we're going to pick this up in verse 25. Jesus says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you in all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." Then he goes on to say, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So the Counselor is coming to teach in all things. That's all things of the Father. Coming to teach us, to teach the disciples. And then he's saying to them, he'll remind you of everything that I said. And so he's setting them up to their further writing of the scripture later on. But we have that same relationship. And then it's interesting how he ends with peace. Peace, which is we define peace as the absence of conflict. So I think this is intentional here. He's talking about being in that relationship and what the Spirit does in that relationship, what the Spirit's role is in that relationship, of the interconnectedness with the disciples and Jesus and the Father. And then he says, there'll be the presence of blessing, there'll be the presence of peace that comes in that right relationship with God. The presence of peace. We're going to come back to that. So, understand why he speaks. Recognize what he speaks. Because he teaches us all things. He will continue to be the voice of Jesus. He is the voice of Jesus in our lives. And he gives us peace. And he gives us peace. Right now, we're going to move ahead to chapter 16, which is what Pastor Jeff spoke on last week. I'm going to review some of those verses. I'm going to start in verse 7. Again, he's talking about leaving in verse 5. Verse 7, "I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." The Counselor. You read other versions, other translations of the Bible, and it use other words. Sometimes they use the word helper. Sometimes they use the word comforter. Sometimes it's translated with the word advocate. And we see the similarity in all four of those words. I think in our English language, we we can connect with all four, thinking, yeah, they're pretty close together. But all of these positions, if we start to think of them as positions, they all assist others by speaking. They all assist others by speaking. You have a counselor. He will assist someone by speaking to them. The comforter, the helper, the advocate. It's all by speaking. That's how they assist others. So think of that as the visual of the Holy Spirit. But they also need someone to listen. If they're going to do their job, they need someone to listen. The counselor needs to speak, but they also need the counselor needs you to listen to maybe what they have to say. If you're going to comfort somebody, they need to listen. So there's very much a role of speaking by the counselor and listening by the person being counseled. In verse 8, as we read last week, it talks about the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin. So he'll convict of sin in our lives. And then he'll guide in truth. And we see that in verse 12, verse 13. I have much more to say to you. Jesus actually isn't done. He says, I've got more to say to you, but my time here is limited. But the Holy Spirit will reveal to you more. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. That's that speaking role of the comforter, the helper, the advocate. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak. He'll guide you in truth. So that really brings us to today. That brings us to today. Listen. He speaks. He speaks. Focus on listening because he wants to speak to you. That's his role. That's his role. As part of the Trinity, he is speaking. So how do we listen? He's speaking to convict us of sin, we read. He'll show us our sin. One thing to remember that as he convicts us of sin, these are not words of condemnation. He convicts in love. These are not words of condemnation and shame and guilt. There's an inner peace that comes with his speaking. To be in alignment with God, we have peace. To be out of alignment with God, we're not in peace. Or he'll speak to us about our sin versus peace. Speaks to our emotions. He'll speak to us through the word. In your bulletin today is the reading guide for reading the word straight through. It does move around, like I say, you don't get stuck in Leviticus for a while. But the reason we do that is because the Spirit speaks to us through his word. I have a devotional that I read that before I read the word, it says, listen with your spirit to the word of God for you. Call your spirit to attention to hear the word of God for you. Call your spirit to attention to hear the word of God. This is not just reading words on a page. Listen with your spirit to the word of God for you. Spirit to spirit speaking. Spirit to spirit. Sometimes the Spirit speaks to us in our thoughts. It's often common for someone to say, oh, that was just my thought. It may not be. The Spirit will speak to our thoughts. We'll think it. The Spirit will speak to our knower. I kind of feel like that's in your gut, your knower. Dr. Rob Reamer, who has spoken here for Holy Spirit Weekends, just released his new book, River Dwellers. And he's actually spoken much of that here in this church. And he talks about Spirit speaking to your knower, knowing things that you wouldn't know otherwise. It's that prompting to call somebody or I just know somebody's going through a hard time. I just need to pray for them. The Spirit speaks to your knower. The Spirit can speak God's word to you in an audible voice. He can speak with pictures, with visions, a word picture, or a word. The Spirit will speak. But the Spirit does speak to us. In the healing prayer ministry in which I work in this church, listening is a very big part of that. And often we will ask the Holy Spirit to speak truth into areas where lies have been identified that that person is believing. But to begin with, we'll ask, how does God speak to you? Or how do you hear from God? Does God speak to you? Just even that question, does God speak to you? Sometimes the answer is, God doesn't speak to me. And so as a team, we begin to uncover maybe reasons why they're not hearing. It's not that God isn't speaking through his Holy Spirit. He is speaking. We're not always listening. We're not always hearing. And there can be reasons for blockage for not hearing. And so that's an important piece of what we do through the healing time. But we do ask the Holy Spirit to speak. What's your truth for so-and-so? What do you want them to know? And he'll speak. We'll write it down. Powerful times of healing that occur during that time. I guess that was a commercial for healing prayer ministry. So That's okay. But I also want to give a commercial for Holy Spirit Weekend coming up in the middle of May. If you find that this is a new topic, I'd like to know more about it. I'd like to experience at a newer, higher level, learn some more about how the Holy Spirit speaks. The information's in your bulletin. Come. If you're a tender of this church, it's free. Come. And just follow the instructions in the bulletin about how to register. Okay. That is a commercial. That was a commercial. Okay. Even if you've never heard the Spirit speak to you, you can begin today. Believe that God speaks. He created you for relationship. We did not read those words about knowing, seeing, being in, if it wasn't about relationship. He created you for relationship with him. He's your creator. Come in faith with expectancy to hear. Expect to hear. Part of the Holy Spirit creed from last week, I think it had something to do with fear. Fear can keep us from being expectant. And that expectancy to hear. And then understand listening. Understand listening. I have not always heard the Holy Spirit like I do now. It's only been in a handful of years that I've really moved into a greater role through the healing prayer ministry, but it was becoming more serious and more focused on hearing. The first 50 years were a little different. So we can all start wherever we're at whatever age you are, you can all start. But understand why he speaks. Experience God through your relationship with him. In Pastor Jeff's sermon a few weeks ago, he talked about that taking a four-hour quiet retreat. Remember that challenge? You were to sometime in the next season schedule a four-hour quiet retreat. We listen by being quiet and by asking. Bill Hybels has a book that's called The Power of a Whisper. It talks about God speaking to us by the whisper of a spirit. In Elijah, in 1 Kings, we hear how God came to him in a whisper, in that still small voice. You can't be too busy. You can't be too noisy. Sit in his presence. And if you have not done the 4-hour retreat or put it on your schedule, do it. Get in that presence and listen. Read his word. You've got the schedule in your bulletin. Read his word. Ask, call up your spirit to attention to listen to the word of God for you. Recognize what he speaks. He guides us in truth. Test what you hear. I talked about the conviction of the spirit for sin. Test what you hear. If you are hearing condemnation, you are hearing shame, guilt. This is not of the Holy Spirit. This is not of the Holy Spirit. Test what you hear. Is the Holy Spirit using the same words to describe you as God would about his son? That's a Sean Maldoni quote. That's a good one. Is the Holy Spirit using the same words to describe you? Think about that. Is the Holy Spirit using the same words to describe you as the Father would about his son, Jesus? If not, something's off. Does what you're hearing glorify the Father? Does it glorify the Son? Does it glorify the Trinity? Caution. The enemy will attempt to counterfeit the Holy Spirit. And that is why we need to test if it is true. But don't throw out all communications with the Spirit because of fear. This is not from God. Fear can cause the good to be ignored along with the bad. Fear can cause the good to be ignored along with the bad. If you're having trouble discerning, ask someone you trust to help you. And listen. He speaks. He speaks. And then receive it and respond to it. It's been over 8 years now. And our daughter Sarah, who's the one that's in Jordan right now, was doing a semester while she was at ATS. She was doing a semester in Jerusalem University College. And while she was there, the sand, the dryness, and a contact lens are not a good combination. And a scratch in her eye got a staph infection in it. And it was very serious, a rapidly growing staph infection. She was in Hadassah Medical Center for 7 days, and it was touch and go whether she would totally lose her whole eye because it was growing that rapidly. After she returned home, the specialist here said, you had excellent care, because that's what you always wonder. Oh, did she get the best care? No, they said, you received the best care, and really it could have been so much worse. But when you're sitting there not able to see out of one eye, you can wonder how much worse could it be. We went to specialists, cornea specialists, because there was scar tissue on the top of the cornea that caused her from seeing. Your cornea needs to be smooth to see. And so we went to a specialist at Columbia Presbyterian. We had hope that he would be able to laser the scar tissue off and then hopefully receive some of her sight back. And as we were in his office, he examined her, and it was just but a minute. He said, your cornea is not thick enough. I can't do it. Hope was gone. That was the last thing other than a cornea transplant, which you don't do when you're 25 years old. So as we're driving home from the city, I had nothing to say. She had nothing to say. It was a sad and hopeless day. And we got home, she went to her room, and I said, I'm going to go for a bike ride. That's my sanctuary. That's my sanctuary. It's where it's quiet. It's where I try to make sense out of life. And that day I was riding my bike, and I'm pounding the pavement and I'm crying out to God and I'm hurting. And everything that I had been taught about who God was, what the scriptures say, who he is, who I am, everything had to be more than just words on a page. It had to be reality in my life. It had to be about really putting my faith into my life, making sense of it all. So when I'm riding and I'm hurting, I'm crying out to God, I pounded the pavement on the road around Rockland Lake. About halfway around the lake, in a quiet moment, I heard God speak to me through his spirit. And he said, I know. What? I know. Those two words landed in my heart, in my soul, into my life. I knew that God was an all-knowing God, but he was telling me that. He was telling me that he was an all-knowing, that he knew. He knew about the doctor visits. He knew about the infection. He knew about what we were going through. He knew it didn't make sense. And I kept repeating that as I was writing from there. God, you knew. God, you know. And that became the new reality. I really believe that God knew all about Sarah's eye. It still hurt, but God knows. God knows about today. And in that day, he knew everything we'd been through, and it was enough. It was enough. Because everything had been unfolding under the watchful eye, the providence of the Creator. God knew, and that was enough. Sarah's been strong and done remarkably well, compensating for the loss of vision in her eye. It's a constant reminder to her and to me that God knows, but it's enough. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. He speaks. He speaks. Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. Where do you need to begin? Every one of you in this room is invited to listen. And you're all starting in different places. Own the listening piece. The Spirit is speaking. Own the listening piece. And as we move into this next time together, I want it to be, asking for it to be quiet, for you to be quiet. Begin to create a space to hear. If you need to close your eyes, just get into your own little place with God. Focus on God. Focus on him. Remember, God's Spirit will speak as a thought, as spirit to spirit, through your emotions. Maybe you'll receive scripture, maybe a word, a picture, visions. You will all see and hear in many different ways with different experiences. There's not a right, there's not a wrong. God's Spirit will speak in truth. And he'll speak truth and love and not condemnation. So as you just all be quiet now, I'm going to lead us in a time. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Remember the expectancy piece. Come in faith, expecting to hear. This is your place, Holy God. We declare your authority and bring your kingdom rule over this room, over our lives. We ask, God, through your Holy Spirit, you will guide us in our time here. And we ask for your truth to be spoken to us. I pray that only the words of truth be heard, and by the authority and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind to silence all their voices in this room. And now let's listen. Lord Jesus, through your Spirit, what do you want us to know? What do you want us to know? What is your truth for each one here? Speak your truth to us. Now just listen. Hear it. Receive it. Staying in a posture of listening as we play out the rest of the morning. We're not going to move from this posture of listening and quietness. Some of you may have heard good things, affirming things. Receive it. That's the next step. Can you receive it? Receive it. Own it. Let it land. Believe it. Write it down. Then keep asking. Keep listening. Some of you may have heard or saw negative things, or maybe nothing at all. And you're not sure what to do with that. Or you heard, and you're not sure what to do with what you've heard. Or you didn't hear. Members of the prayer team and members of the pastoral team are going to be available at front. So if you want to come and talk to someone to help process what you've heard, or come share a testimony of what you heard that was positive, that was life-giving to you, but that's processing what you hear, there'll be people available up front to do that with you. Today is a day to move to a new level in your relationship with God. Remember that relationship is important. But please don't walk away feeling defeated or feeling you did it wrong or you're no good because God didn't speak to you. That's the enemy of the soul telling you those things. Come and talk to someone. Process. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. He speaks. And we're going to continue in a time of listening. We're going to do just a song so you have some listening time. And then I'll close us with a benediction. But we're going to remain in a posture of listening throughout the rest of our time here. Ask for it. Ask with expectancy. Ask for it. And then listen. Listen.